It is 5-1. I want to make sure I have it right. 512-255-0993.
Perfect.
Okay, so that's, folks, this is a hotline number. If any of you out there want to talk to somebody, if you feel that you might be one of the targets of what we've been discussing. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, I just thought I would let you know I'm calling from New York, and everyone's coming in beautiful.
Oh, that's
with
great.
With all of the callers.
Then it's local. Thanks, Gloria.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye, honey. There we go, Eleanor.
Right.
That it would be a local thing. The number, again, folks, is 512-255-0993.
And that number is near the top of the Raven1.net site as well.
Okay, and Eleanor's site once again, Raven, R-A-V-E-N, like the bird, numeral 1, Raven1.net. And what, as she just said, the number we just gave you, if you have internet access, is right up at the top of the website. Okay. Eleanor. Are you there?
I'm here, huh?
Okay. Well, I had mentioned to you that people would like to know if you can expand a little bit, and I know that you want to go into some of the, quote, mishaps, because you said last night that it seems that most people who are targeted begin, first of all, just getting a lot of weird, strange things happening.
That's right. Yeah.
But there are people that are very curious about
The technology.
If you would be so kind. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, Jackie.
Yep.
I'm calling from Chicago.
Hi.
We can't hear anything.
June? Is this June?
Yes.
Okay.
We can't hear anything.
Honey, that is amazing because we just got a call from New York. She said it is loud and clear. A call from Michigan said he has no signal whatsoever. And in Canada, there is a faint signal. So it has to be localized here, honey.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm so sorry.
Jackie, by the way,
he's trying just a sec, June. What, Eleanor?
My shortwave set has a signal strength indicator on it, and before your show started, the signal strength indicator was way up there.
Way, uh-huh.
So this is definitely artificial.
Okay. She, what she just said is that she has a signal strength indicator, June. And just before the broadcast, the signal strength was way up, and now it's really down. And so she said it must be being done on a local level. Are you there, June? Oops. I guess she hung up. I'm sorry about that. Okay. Well, Eleanor, this will be archived at the website. And when I get a chance to test out my... duplicating machine, if people want copies of it, if I can get the thing working, I'll make copies available for people.
Great.
All right. So do you want to enlighten us a little bit further about the technology that is available and what it can actually do, Eleanor?
Yes. just let me make a statement here. we don't know what technology can do the current day attacks to the extent that they actually work. We don't know how they work, period. What we do have is information on some older technology which under some circumstances can duplicate some of the effects. And so what I've done is I've devoted an hour's script for a new webcast where Sue Ann and I are going to be put out called Road to Freedom.
And when is this going to start, honey?
Well, if our donors make good on their pledges, probably by the end of January.
All right. Well, you let us know, and we'll be sure and announce it.
Oh, yes. But anyway, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make that script available on Raven1.net so people can read it at their leisure. Excuse me. I'm not going to make it a clickable thing, but if people go to Raven1.net and then they type a /, that's the one under the question mark.
Right.
And then just type the name show3, and that's the numeral 3, .txt, Tango X-Ray Tango. So it's Raven1.net / show3.txt.
Okay.
After this show, you'll find the script there, and that will tell you quite a bit about it, and I've tried to minimize the technology so it's understandable to anybody. Now, but I can give it to you in a nutshell.
Good, because a lot of our...
Yes.
The majority of our listeners are shortwave listeners.
That's right.
Many of them do not. Although, as you said, or somebody may said, you need to be reminded, folks, even if you don't have a computer, if you don't have Internet access, if you do have a library nearby, you can go to a library. And you don't have to know anything about computers because they have people in the libraries who will help you find what you're looking for. You go there with the URL, that's the address, if you would, of the website, and or they can even do a search for you in a search engine, and they'll be glad to help you. Go ahead, Eleanor.
Okay, briefly, the unclassified technology which can come close to doing what you and I experience in terms of sounds is called acoustic heterodyning, and a commercial name for that is the audio spotlight. There's a second commercial name called hypersonic sound, and this is a special type of loudspeaker that operates on ultrasound instead of regular sound, and it can project sound up to several hundred feet, only unlike a normal speaker, you don't hear anything until the sound beam encounters something solid.
Wow.
Now, a couple of our members actually have these units, and they do demonstrate them from time to time to give the public a limited idea of what we're hearing. And so that unit could duplicate some of what we experienced, although it can't do it in three dimensions. It can't cause the sound to pop out of just midair without anything solid at that location. So that's one of the technologies.
Well, when you say something solid, you mean like hitting a house?
Sure. Your window, your house, your head, a tree, your dog. It could make your dog talk, for example.
Wow.
But this
and this is not even classified.
No. In fact, it's even slowly going into use commercially. It's the same technology that they use to get your attention when you pass by a recent model soda vending machine, which will make a sound occur right at your ear saying, "Are you thirsty?"
You're kidding.
No, that's they're doing it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The military is also using it, of course, for hailing from, say, one ship to another without using the radio. And, in fact, they even use these things to warn crowds in New York City during the Republican convention. So this stuff is getting out and around. It's not classified at all.
Wow.
And that takes care of the audio. Now, the sleeplessness...
Now, can they make the whistles and things like that?
Yes, they can, but the only limitation is it can't go through walls because it will dump the sound when it hits the wall.
Oh, okay.
Nor can it cause a sound to appear in midair.
Okay.
It has to appear at a solid surface.
I see, okay.
Now, the sleeplessness, believe it or not, this can be done by an old medical device that was available during the Korean War. This device name is LIDA, and that's spelled L-I-D-A. It was originally developed by the Russians, but it now has an American patent. And, in fact, a unit exists at the Loma Linda, California Veterans Hospital Research Wing. And this unit was tested by two American scientists, Dr. Ross Ady and Dr. Eldon Bird, and they discovered that it indeed does what it's advertised to do. Now,
why would they be researching this at Loma Linda Hospital? If it's a hospital, why are they researching this type of technology that would cause sleeplessness?
Well, look, I have to go a little further to explain that. The unit, everybody knows what biofeedback is. In other words, that's a little gadget that can tell you how fast or slow your average brain rhythm is at the moment. And it does that by emitting a tone, usually. And the idea is, as you relax, the tone gets lower and lower and lower. But scientists have discovered a long time ago that it works in reverse as well. You can use electronics to induce various brain activity speeds. As well as read them, you can induce them. And so what the LIDA does is it sends out a radio signal with pulse rates in the range of a few hertz, a few cycles per second, where your brain operates. And it has an adjustable speed on it. And in the medical application, the idea is they set the speed down low, and they use this to put usually mental patients to sleep without using drugs. Perhaps someone who can't really handle any more drugs, so they use it for that. But if you raise the speed to the rate during very wakeful activity, it will force wakefulness as well. Now this gadget is so simple that off the shelf, certain ham radio transmitters will work for this application, as is, as they come out of the box.
Well, then let me ask you this. So if they can do this from a distance?
Yes, they can.
And because I certainly have experienced this really big time, and you had defined it, described it as like it's a caffeine high almost, because even if you only had 3 hours sleep the night before, you're just totally wide awake and cannot get drowsy. But I want to ask you this. Have you experienced this, that you'll just be absolutely totally wide awake and alert, and suddenly, really suddenly, you get real drowsy, and it's like, whoa, I can go to sleep. And the next thing you know, you're out.
Yes, well, that can be done with the LIDA machine just by lowering
that's
the speed.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
I was on a phone call last night, and we were talking away, and I was just really into the conversation, and suddenly I said, you know what? I'm getting real drowsy. I think I can go to sleep. And I was probably sleeping in 5 minutes.
Well, but we do remember my comment. That there's more to the LIDA story than just that's what they're using, because it isn't what they're using, and we know this for a couple of reasons. First of all, the LIDA is a fairly powerful transmitter. It's 40 watts, and when you switch on and off a 40-watt transmitter in close proximity to someone's home, you're going to see interference with various electronic devices, and that doesn't happen. So that's one piece of evidence that we're looking at something much more advanced than the old Korean War vintage LIDA machine. The other is that some of us have built totally shielded enclosures around our beds, I for one, and these effects didn't stop at all, and that shielded enclosure would have stopped the LIDA cold. So clearly we're up against something far, far more sophisticated. The reason we talk about the LIDA machine is simply to let the public in on the secret that it can be done.
You know, in our website, sweetliberty.org, in the Big Brother, I think it's in the Big Brother section, or it could be in Health Med, but I think it's in Big Brother. It just occurred to me that there is a well-done article that I believe discusses this type. In fact, the person who had written it wrote to us and said, I didn't give you permission, take it off your website. And we just said, well, this isn't up here for any, you know, anything other than information, and we prefer to leave it up. And she didn't pursue it any further. So, folks, if you go, I think you'll find it in the Big Brother Issues section. When you go into sweetliberty.org main page, you'll see a thing that says, just scroll down a teeny tiny ways. We've moved it up. Don't miss our issues sections. There's a drop-down box, and it'll say Big Brother, and I think you'll find it in there. If not, go to the Health Med section. Yeah, what you're saying makes all the sense in the world. This technology you're talking about has been a long, long time. The LIDA and all of that.
Yes.
So we know that they have to have taken it far beyond.
Oh, yes. And there's a third combination of technologies that have been available for many years as well, 30 years at least. And that's called the pulse microwave voice to skull. This in World War II, radar technicians discovered that when they were near the antennas of their operating radar sets, they could hear a buzz, and when the radar was off, they didn't hear the buzz. So scientists took that one step further and said, well, it's possible to use clicks, if they're close enough together, to create the sound of a voice. And, of course, a radar pulse is one click. So what they did is build a radar set where the pulses were controlled by a voice being spoken into a microphone, and this can transmit voice directly into the skull of somebody. And this, of course, a microwave can be focused fairly tightly, and this can be could be theoretically, not in practice, but theoretically, it could carry for miles.
Thank you. Do you mind if I take a couple of moments here? I found this. I was looking for it last night. It wasn't near at hand. This is, I checked this out, by the way. I just have one page here. It's an excerpt. And it is written by Lieutenant Colonel John B. Alexander, U.S. Army Journal Military Review, 1980 edition, 1980. And here's, it's titled, by the way, The New Mental Battlefield, Beam Me Up, Spock. And here's what it says. He said, several examples will demonstrate areas in which progress has been made. The transference of energy from one organism to another. The ability to heal or cause disease can be transmitted over a distance, thus inducing illness or death for no apparent cause. Telepathic behavior modification, which includes the ability to induce hypnotic states up to distances in excess of 1,000 kilometers. The use of telepathic hypnosis also holds great potential. This capability could allow agents to be deeply planted with no conscious knowledge of their programming. Listen to this now. Other mind-to-mind thought induction techniques are being considered. If perfected, this capability could allow the direct transference of thought via telepathy from one mind or group of minds to a selected target audience. The unique factor is that the recipient will not be aware that thoughts have been implanted from an external source. He or she will believe the thoughts are original. Now, this is thought transference that even goes beyond voice transference. And if they can do this, they can do voice transference, can't they?
Absolutely, Jackie. It's kind of interesting as a postscript to Colonel Alexander. He's now spun around the opposite way. He's become a disinfo agent. He's been on Coast to Coast AM telling everybody that there are no devices that can do these things.
Oh, my, my, my.
For your listeners, if you want to, there are two terrific and not very expensive books which describe in great detail all of these advanced technologies. One of them is Psychic Discoveries Behind the Iron Curtain by Sheila Ostrander and Lynn Schroeder. And the second is...
Just a minute, honey. That's a little fast. I'm writing Psychic Discoveries Behind the Iron Curtain.
Yes.
Behind the Iron Curtain by...
Just the last names are Schroeder and Ostrander.
S-C-H-R-O... Is this S-C-H-R-O-E-D-E-R?
That's correct.
And Ostrander, O-S-T-R-A-N-D-E-R.
Yes.
Okay.
But you don't have to copy them, Jackie, because I'm going to tell you that both of them are reviewed with all of the ISBN information
on
my website.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, the one thing is that many of our shortwave listeners might not even have close access to a library.
Okay.
So I want them... I keep our shortwave listeners in mind.
Yeah.
Because they have been the beginning of this broadcast and are still the backbone of the broadcast.
Forgive me, I'm a techie.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
We have to take a very quick break here. Now listen, I'm going to run and grab a glass of water. And if it gets quiet, Eleanor, that means it's time to talk. If I'm not back, will you begin, please, honey?
Okay, no problem.
Thank you. Be right back, folks.
years ahead of the dominant media. Find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
All right. Oh, I'm sorry, folks. I thought I had turned my mic down, and it wasn't down. And I blasted in your ear. We're back with Eleanor White. Her website, once again, raven1.net. Ellen and I talked today about the broadcast last night. Eleanor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yep.
Geez, this mic is doing that again. You remember when I said gang stalking just doesn't seem inappropriate? Gang stalking brings to my mind a gang that is stalking an individual. In other words, it just doesn't say it. He said it is very organized. It isn't like a gang, but it's a very organized effort and process that is going on. And I wonder if you consider, well, I know you at one time were, what would be another word or phrase to call this that really defines it more clearly, or at least doesn't give the, I think of the, you know, the gangs with the leather jackets, and you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do, Jackie. Just let me, before we go any further, mention that just the title of that second book describing the advanced technology, that one is Secret Life of Plants.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, by Tompkins and Bird, and it goes into so much extrasensory perception level technology, it'll blow your mind. Now, as
I read your review of that to our listeners.
Yes, right. Now, as to the gang stalking itself, the stalking by groups, these groups are not the mafia, they're not bikers, and they're not youth gangs. These groups are specifically gathered together because they believe they are serving their community, and they are rather deluded members of the community. And let me just give you some of the causes of these stalking cases. And remember that you're looking at a group who think that by committing crimes they're actually serving the community. The first, most common cause is somebody told a lie about the target. And those lies are typically drug dealer, prostitute, pedophile, anything that's an emotional hot button. Another common cause are police and other public safety officials who have developed methods of settling scores with people they can't get justice for in court. And this even includes battered spouses who make complaints about their abusive officer spouse. And the other police officers take up on the side of the batterer because the complaint is against the police family. And another more common one is aggravated school or workplace bullying. Hostile spouse or ex-spouse hires the group, literally pays them to harass the other. Or the victim reported a crime where the criminal is a member of organized crime. For example, there are lots of pedophile rings all over the place. And women who try to protect their children report the husband for being a pedophile are very likely to be harassed, both with technology and people.
Okay.
Another very common cause is whistleblowers within corporations or government.
Yes.
Activists against corporations or government. And here's one that people don't often think of, but happens more often than we'd like. Overzealous church groups harass sinners to straighten them out. And these people actually believe they are being called on by the Lord to...
Now, who actually... But, okay, they believe they've been called on by the Lord. Somebody approached them and said, these people, they're sinners and we need your help.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
So they believe they're doing the work of the Lord, but it wasn't the Lord that called them.
That's right.
Of Creator, yeah, okay.
And, of course, here's one that you can almost figure is going to happen once in a while, and that's overzealous neighborhood watch-like groups harass people they believe have criminal records but actually don't. Some people like to harass mentally ill people because they don't want them in their neighborhood. There are family feuds over inheritance among our members, and there's a fair bit of activity nowadays by various levels of government attempting to unfairly seize land from owners for many different reasons, which we don't have time to get into on the show.
Oh, we have talked about these,
yeah.
And not the stalking part of it, but the seizure of private property.
But that's another starting point for this gang stalking. Derry Brownfield talks about that quite a bit. And so that's sort of a picture of how you become a target. And the main difference...
Well, none of those include me.
No, I know. Well, Jackie, look what you're broadcasting. You're broadcasting truth. Right?
Yeah.
That alone is sufficient, eh?
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing about these stalking gangs is they're under very tight behavior standards themselves. They don't just walk up and flash your tire. What they're more likely to do is to slide under your car in the middle of the night and let out maybe one quart of transmission fluid and do this over a few weeks, so that eventually your transmission burns out and it will look like a normal mishap, but it's not. In other words, these people are deliberately following scripts. Which
now, the one thing I have to ask, it has to be some professional housebreaker when they can get into somebody's home. See, I'm playing devil's advocate here because I know there will be people that probably have these same thoughts. If you have, let's say, deadbolts on your doors, et cetera, and locks on your windows, there would be some type of sign of entry, and it would have to be some professional to be able to get into somebody's home.
Absolutely, Jackie, and there's a seminal book on this. The book title is Terrorist Stalking in America by David Lawson, and... questions like yours are answered in that book. That book is reviewed. It's a 10-page review with lots and lots of quotes. And it's on both my Raven1.net website and on my gang stalking website, which is multistalkervictims.org. It's kind of a long name. But, yes, these gangs don't have any lack of resources. They actually are able to afford to rent an apartment next to you on both sides, or maybe even both sides and above and below. They're able to rent houses on both sides, and if there's no house, they're able to build them. These gangs have lots of money. That's why they're not just local yokels. The foot soldiers that you see on the street, they're pretty low down on the totem pole, and backing them up are the next class higher, which are technicians and city workers who have good jobs but enjoy wielding the power that their trade uniquely gives them. And at even a higher level are judges and people like that. So this is a big deal. They have lots of resources, and having a professional break into your house is no problem at all for these people.
Without leaving signs of entrance.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm having problems with this mic again.
I can hear you clearly.
I know. I blew on it. Okay. Okay.
But the important thing, as I say, is this is different from every other crime in history in that this is designed so there is no recourse for the target because every single one of their crimes appears like something normal.
Normal.
It's very cleverly scripted, and the way I see it, it's one of the greatest threats to constitutional freedom that has ever come along because even a conscientious police officer can't do much about it. They do a lot more than that. They tell vicious lies to your family, to your coworkers, to your neighbors, and they literally destroy your life. As I said last night, everyone ends up living alone because a combination of lies and technological torment makes the target someone that the family doesn't want to live with anymore. Are you there, Jackie?
Yes, I'm listening very intensely.
Right.
And once again, I cannot relate to that because when I have people around me, it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen.
Well, in some cases, some of our members are like that as well. Although they draw from a large master smorgasbord of attack methods, they don't use them the same on everybody.
Uh-huh.
So we have others like that who have it stop when there are other people around them.
Uh-huh. Well, Alan did explain that. If, you know, that is what they're using is some type of a frequency that has been able to zero in on your frequency, that when people are around you, their frequencies, they intermingle. And he said especially if you're having a good time and there's a real closeness, then it kind of it confuses their equipment.
Not all the time, Jackie. We have cases where people have been brutally attacked while they're having sex with their partner, and the partner feels nothing.
Wow.
Again, the only technology...
When you say brutally attacked, you mean physically?
Yes, with pain, with electric shock sensations or convulsions or any number of unpleasant things.
And you have had series of breaking out in rashes and...
Interestingly, no, I've never had a rash. In fact, one of the things that they use on me a lot is powerful, unquenchable itching. Itching so powerful, I have to use a garlic grater to scrape the area down to where it bleeds. That's the only way I can get any relief. And when I go to the doctor, they say, well, we can't help you. There's no rash there. We can't diagnose anything.
Wow. Well, one of the things, you know, that I mentioned last night, as we're doing this broadcast, I always think of the purpose that it is going to serve, information that we're sharing with our listeners. And the only thing I could come up with is the fact that there may be people listening who can relate to this. And when Alan and I were talking this morning about it, he said that goes so far to help an individual because they believe that they're alone. They maybe get to believing there is something wrong with them. And when they realize that there are other people out there experiencing it, it helps to take the intensity away, so to speak, knowing that they're not alone.
Yes, indeed. I think what we're entering is the age of dictatorship with expert public relations driving the methods. And if you notice, many, say, constitutional destruction acts of Congress, they're always covered up by something, and what they're trying to do is make everything look perfectly normal while they slide us back into the dark ages.
Yes. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Suzanne calling you from Texas.
Hi.
And I was just listening to your conversation about the folks and how they lose their families and everything.
This is Suzanne?
Yes.
Are you Suzanne Campbell?
Yes.
Oh, thanks for calling in, Suzanne.
Well, I was able to get it to work tonight. Last night there was so much interference, but tonight both of the computer and the radio are coming in loud and clear.
That's wonderful.
So that's from down here, though. Up there, I understand there's other problems. There are times when I think that they were able to broadcast on a particular frequency, nothing but a blank carrier that just blocked out everything.
We have a listener who was in communications in the Vietnam War, and he said that when they wanted to send a signal, they could literally cut a path, and nothing could get in. So, in other words, clear a space where no other frequency could enter. And so I see that that is a possibility.
Well, there's been complaints about other radio shows down here. As you know, we have a broadcast network down here, too, and occasionally that happens. They have that problem, too, and it's just the simple fact that the information that comes out on these alternative news stations is something that certain powers that be don't want coming out.
Yeah.
And they especially don't want things coming out about what you and Eleanor are talking about tonight, because it's the ultimate weapon against people to enslave them. It's so hard for anybody to believe that it could happen until it happens to them.
I have to admit, when Eleanor first began contacting me, I thought, oh, this is just, you know, Eleanor, you forgive me. I know you do. But at first, it just didn't click. And
well, Sue Ann thought I should see a psychiatrist when she first...
Well, it's hard to believe. You have to go through it. If Eleanor would have contacted me before the overt part of it started, I would have... that's not true. It can't happen.
Are you a target also, Suzanne?
Yes. They target different people in different ways. They have a different recipe for each person. Depends on some of them. They want to do mostly street theater and making them lose their jobs and telling lies about them, pretending to do an investigation on them, something like that. And others, they'll use mostly electronic harassment on it. It depends. Both kinds of folks call in on my hotline, and it seems like this is a new age stalking. This is the way to get back at somebody without ever getting caught. They never get brought to trial. They never get, you know, charged with anything. They get away with it continually. They use interchangeable gangs, and so that the targets can't recognize people most of the time. Most people think that they don't ever see their gang stalkers. But if they will train themselves to memorize their faces, they'll know that they are seeing them. It may be once every 2 or 3 months, but they do rotate these people through.
While you're here with us, I want to give your number again. Folks, this is Sue Ann. It was her number that we gave for the hotline. And if you didn't get it and you would like to talk with Sue Ann, the number is 512-255-255. 0993 512-255-0993. And when you first called in, Sue Ann, you had mentioned you were calling because of the comment she made, how many people wind up losing their families over this. Did you want to add something to that?
Well, I would say that if there are any families listening out there, which I doubt, because strangely they cannot find any time at all to read a book or to listen to anything about this subject, and that is they are mind controlled themselves, and so willing to throw away their family member, or they're afraid, or they're coerced, or they're threatened, or paid off. I don't know what it is. I hear all kinds of stories from people, and I imagine it's all of those reasons.
Do you hold out the possibility, too, that it would attract some people who really aren't being stalked but just want to make up some stories? Do you ever get the sense that some people that contact you may just be doing it for attention or to skew, the information?
Well, there's always a chance that there will be infiltrators try to find out what we're, you know, what our strategy is or something. They'll call in or something. But for the most part, and you know, at first when I first started doing the hotline thing, I kind of thought maybe I shouldn't do it because it would invite that. But now, what I've been able to discern, it's mostly the real thing. I think once in a while I've got one or two in the last couple of years that seemed like they were not sincere, or there might be some other problem besides the stalking. But you know, you can sense that. If you've heard story after story.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
And they're basically the same thing. They're not the same recipe for harassment, but they're basically the same thing. And there's a certain kind of desperation in the voice because they've exhausted every resource. They usually don't call until they've lost everything. Their family, their job, their reputation, everything. And I myself have had the good fortune to have one or two people tell me the lie that's being told. And it depends on who they're talking to as to what lie they tell. See, if they're talking to certain people, they've told certain people that I'm an undercover cop. And I've never worked for the police force. I've never been in the military. It's none of that. But because somehow my circumstances or situation might make me look like that, because I don't do any drugs at all, not even pot, so then they want to think they want, it's believable, you see.
Uh-huh.
It's believable. When you're at a party and somebody's doing pot and they offer it to you and you say no, then, and after you leave, the infiltrator says, oh, well, she's an undercover cop. You knew that, didn't you? So you're ruined right there. They all believed it then.
So you've actually had people tell you.
I've had people tell me that this one of the, and see, I think that's only one of the things that's been told. It's all an opportunistic type thing.
Uh-huh.
It all depends on what group they're trying to mess you up with, and usually they're going to want to mess you up with everybody. They'll want to mess you up with your employer, your people you run around with, and anybody. If you start your own little business, they want to mess you up with your employees too. I mean, so there's been a wide variety of things I suspect. But that person told me that, you know, I'm sorry I didn't show up for work, and Bob, you know. They told me you were an undercover cop and blah, blah, blah. I was not pleased because that person wouldn't tell me who told. They were afraid. You know, and I didn't think any amount of money could get it out of them either. So. But this is, if when people say, you know, sticks and stones break my bones and dirty words never hurt, that's a big fat lie.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
You fix it so you never get another job, so everybody's afraid to even be around you. You know, I've had people look at me like they're afraid I'm going to pull out an Uzi and blow them away, and I've never done a violent thing to anybody in my life, or even threatened to. You see what I'm saying? So
yes.
Who knows what they're making up? They have the best imaginations in the world. You know, and the best technology.
I was going to say, and plus probably trainers.
Oh, yeah.
Teaching
all
them.
The training. They have unlimited money. They can come in. You can't buy a lock that will keep them out. I have multi-locks on my doors, and they had a key within 2 weeks. And I did not have a roommate, did not loan the keys out. A multi-lock is something that I was told by the locksmith that only the federal government or another locksmith could even, only those people could even get the blank key. And then it had to be cut on a $2,000 machine. But it couldn't be done so unless they had a special little plastic card, a little card that was issued at the time of sale with the numbers on it, or they wouldn't know how to cut it. So how did they get the key? How did they get that key? They had to have some connection somewhere. Who's teaching these people all this stuff?
Well, that's what
How are they getting this technology? Where's it coming from? You see what I'm saying? To me, it's pointing in a certain direction. I'm not going to say which direction it is pointing in, but...
You can say anything you want on this broadcast.
No, I mean, let the audience
Eleanor, okay, Eleanor wanted to say something, honey.
Jackie,
sorry,
we're running short on time, and I just wonder if Sue Ann would like to explain what has happened to her family.
Oh, Sue Ann.
I'm here.
Sue Ann, you can't hear Eleanor the way we're connected. She can hear you, but you can't hear her.
Oh,
and
I see. Okay.
She said she wondered, we're running short of time in just a couple of minutes. Would you share with our listeners what has happened to you within your family?
Are you talking to me or Eleanor?
You, Sue Ann.
Well, they estrange people from their family. They convince them that the person is mentally ill, and the person is only acting in such a manner as any reasonable and prudent person were acting or would be acting if they were in the same situation, you know. If you had your vehicle, if somebody was putting Jell-O in your transmission fluid, and dirt in your oil of your vehicle, and draining some of the coolant out, and draining some of the brake fluid out sometime, and pulling the insignias off the sides, and bending the antenna, and kicking in the hubcaps, and going in your house and rearranging it for you a little bit. And if you have all that stuff going on, and you would normally try to get help from from your family or the police or somebody, but it doesn't make if it doesn't bring in money for the people that are doing it, they don't understand it. You understand?
Uh-huh. And did
they come in your house and they rearrange something and they didn't take the TV or the VCR, then nobody understands that. The TV and VCR are still there. Nobody wants to hear any of that. That's too mixed up, crazy, and scary. And
did this happen to you, Sue Ann?
It did, and they did. I call it the overt part of the harassment, and it's done early on in the early stages. But they want to make sure that you know that you can't keep them out of your house or your car. You can't stop them from vandalizing anything they want. There's no key or lock you can buy that'll work. There's nobody you can. And I figured out too that from talking to other folks. That wasting money on burglar alarms and dogs, that would be a big waste of money, too, because they circumvent everything. They come in whenever they please, wherever they please, and there's no way to keep them out of
it. And did it destroy your family?
Sure. I hardly ever see them.
Wow.
And not only that, they did something to them. I don't know.
We're out of time, and we'll have Eleanor back again.
I'm sorry, Eleanor, if you wanted
no,
to something.
She's fine. I think she's glad you called in, honey.
Well,
and thank you. We're out of time here, Sue Ann.
Okay, but I want to talk to you something about your telephone.
Okay.
Out there.
Will you, good, will you call me back?
Sure.
Okay, thanks, honey, right after the broadcast.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with you tomorrow night with Reverend Seth Pike. We're going to be talking about the victims of the hate crime laws here in Pennsylvania. So I hope you will join us. And Eleanor White, thank you. God bless you. And bring us all peace, honey.
That's what you got.
Yes, thank you so much. Bye-bye. Good night, folks.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190 Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.